not really a question, and as a New Zealander, I might be being a bit presumptuous here, but it doesn't sound as though you're aware of Auslit, which is the Australian equivalent of Fiction Finder. Maybe it's extremely comprehensive and well-developed and very, very interesting, but you will need a password to access it. And when I wrote to them, I asked for a guest password just to have a look at it, and they were very happy to do that.
Oh, okay. Thank you. You're right. I should be aware more. I have actually heard of it, but people haven't been listing it. When they talk about all the Ferberization projects, they haven't been calling it that, but I probably should have realized that that should have been included, so I apologize. Thank you.
Another question, Ferberization or comment? Any questions, burning questions for Tony or Lloyd?
Thanks. We've seen basically three, four different variations of displays and what we could potentially do in the future. And we've had simple displays or for perhaps users who are not quite sure what they want to very detailed searches for users who know exactly what they want or are doing research. Could it be that perhaps what we need is a number of different viewpoints to the data underneath? Perhaps going back to what Lloyd was saying about taking data out and just displaying it differently, could it be that our mindset is still very much ILMS, that we have to have one system and one public display, whereas perhaps what we need is two, three, or four different types of displays running off the same data, running on the same system, or is that just daydreaming?
A nice idea.
Well, I can take a stab at it. I think that we do definitely need to move in that direction when we start thinking about multilingual problems. I think that we need to eventually get to the point of having catalogs where users can define themselves as belonging to a certain language group, and then have the catalog change itself into a catalog that's designed to be for people in using that language. I would find it a little bit more difficult to conceive of other kinds of groupings of users, though, that wouldn't be hard to communicate with them. I know that people have designed different OPAC interfaces for children's libraries, and that seems like a legitimate thing to me to do, where you've got a library that's specifically for a certain clientele and you know something about the differences in their searching from other groups. But if you're thinking more about a research library catalog that asks users to define themselves at the beginning before they start getting a different set of displays, that could be a little bit difficult, I would think, to categorize people in ways that would really be helpful. But maybe I'm just not quite using enough imagination here.
I think it was Anne who mentioned that users, of course, particular people can belong to more than one category at different times. I think that's very true. Lloyd would like to add something.
Yeah, well, I think too, part of it's just allowing them to make the choices that are appropriate for the type of individual they are, and to give them defaults which sort of unfold or collapse up either too, depending on the day and the type of query they're choosing. But again, the system does need to be dynamic, and that's going to, I think, quite rightly place demands on the data underneath. The software, I think, is getting close to being pretty well there to do it. It's the data below the system, and then the design environment that sits around to make use of that data.
I was just going to say that one of the barriers, of course, is the cost. I think personalization is a really good idea. So if you can build services that adapt to different users, then that's a really good thing. Of course, they have to identify themselves to the system, but they'll have their own preferences that can then feed into the way the service operates.
I was just going to define, perhaps not saying, oh, I'm an undergraduate or I'm a researcher, but would I like a simple search? Do I want do I know what I'm looking for? And look, I'm just thinking of this straight off the top of my head. There must be better ways to categorize this, but that's sort of the thing I was thinking of when I was asking the question, rather than a person putting themselves in a box.
Yeah, there are certain types of data too that can work into that. Like, there are examples of prototype catalogs out there that ask, for example, straight up, do you want to borrow? You know, do you want to use it now? Do you want to borrow within, or do you want to have something within 24 hours, or do you want something within 2 weeks? And you can disguise some of these choices, I think, quite intelligently by giving people the right sort of options at the beginning. Even just, I think, a very basic question that's facing a lot of us in OPAC design is, does the user actually want it delivered to their desktop now, or in the next few minutes? Or are they prepared to get it some other way, particularly in a physical format? I think that's a really big dividing line between one class of user and another class of user. And I think there are ways we can do that.
Yes, I think it's time for tea. Let's thank once again our three panelists for some wonderful presentations. Back in half an hour.